Okay, we're in Genesis.
Did you pray or not?
We have not. We are going to.
You. I was jealous all we just went to get the same as me.
Good morning.
You need to stop playing with us, you know?
Yeah.
Who's Dennis then?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're in Genesis chapter 6. Time will fly now. I do need to let you know we need to schedule another evening class in order to finish everything. Genesis we might be able to finish, but Minor Prophets we won't, and maybe Missions, but we probably won't finish that. So we need to sort of book a three-hour session coming up before our final, of which two will probably be for Minor Prophets and one for Missions. So maybe we'll look at our schedule here in just a little bit after we work on Genesis a bit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together. We could be anywhere. Lord, we could be in hell. And yet you've been very good to give us a gospel, put a Bible in our lap, call us to follow Jesus. And Lord, somehow, some way, we made a right choice. We were able to realize that he's the only one worthy of following. So God, teach us about him this morning as we go through these different books and different truths. God, I pray for encouragement of your people. Lord, so many heavy burdens. We may be tired, all kinds of things, but you're worthy. Give us strength and fruit for our labor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 6. I've got it down to the bottom. We did. I apologize. Where did we leave off? Do we stop at, I thought I didn't, that chart. Okay. Oh, we stopped with Methuselah. All right, well, this will just take a few moments. I see my mark now. Thanks, Barry. This is chapter 5, verse 21. Down to 27. You have just a few other things leading up to the end of the world. And it's kind of funny how things pan out the same way. Verse 21 says this. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Notice the end of that has Selah, S-E-L-A-H. You'll see that name, that word in Psalms, throughout Psalms. It refers to a place and refers to an attitude. Yes.
Doesn't say that in this one?
Doesn't say.
Selah.
What?
Selah. Doesn't say that in this one.
Do you see Methuselah? Look at the end of Methuselah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see Selah on the end?
We thought you meant the end of the verse.
Oh. No, sorry.
I thought you meant Selah on its own.
It no, sir. No, every Hebrew word usually has different words put together. Like Jesus is Jehovah, is Savior. Things like this. Okay, Elijah, the Lord, He is God. They're put together. So Methuselah has Selah on the end. And when you talk about Jerusalem, that is also the word peace, rest. The city of peace, the city of rest, which is Selah. I'm just saying that Selah is a very important word, and it shows up with Methuselah.
So it talks about this in first peace then, is it?
Well, no, I'll talk about it just more. I just want to show you how this is referring, how peace is going to come. You'll see. In verse 21, it says, Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after we get Methuselah 300 years. And we talked about that last week, that after he had his son, Enoch started walking with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. He begat lots of sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, which was low compared to other ages. How old were people living back then? 700, 800, 900 years. And here he's only a spring chicken. He dies at 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him, which is an unusual thing. But we read about it in Hebrews, that because Enoch's faith and his walk with God, God just said, you know, I'm just going to use you as an illustration of the rapture. And Methuselah lived, and notice the rapture was before the flood, but very quickly.
Enoch didn't actually go to heaven, he went to
paradise.
He wouldn't be a good symbol of the rapture.
No, he's only, again, none of these shadows are perfect, okay? Even though, Jesus is compared to Melchizedek, isn't he? Okay, now Melchizedek is not a Jesus. Melchizedek is not Jesus. He's a shadow of what Jesus was. So you're going to find a flaw in his characteristics. Joseph was a great symbol, illustration of what Jesus was going to be, but he had flaws. So when you look at Enoch, he's not a perfect representation. He's an illustration of how the rapture will work, when it will work, how fast it'll be, how God does it. So you're always going to find it go, well, that can't be. No, it doesn't have to be exact, but it does have the characteristics of a pre-trib rapture. Yes, sir.
He was not. Does that mean God just took him, didn't die?
Well, we have Hebrews to help us understand what that means. It said he was translated. I like how it says translated from one place to another. The modern word would be transported, like Star Trek, the transporter. Translated. He was translated. We have already in our spirit, we've been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. That's right. Okay, so verse 25, and Methuselah lived 180 and 7 years, and he begat a son named Lamech, and Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 780 and 2 more years. He begat sons and daughters, I believe lots of them. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and yet he died. And Lamech lived 180 and 2 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 590 and 5 more years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 770 and 7 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So, let's look at Methuselah. His name means, his death shall bring. Now, I gave you that, didn't I already?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and...
Okay, Lamech?
Yeah, okay, oh, I had it up at Methuselah. All right, number K. So, Lamech, his name means the wild man, or the destroyer. This is a different Lamech than found in Genesis 4. This guy lives, so there are two Lamechs. This guy lives 777 years, and at 182, he's had a lot of children before, but at 182 years of age, he has a certain son named Noah. And his name means rest, or comfort, that's your fill-in. This same shall comfort us concerning our work of toil and our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. So his children, and he has three of them, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
What's the meaning of that? What did it say?
Okay, evidently time, right now we live in an amazing day when we have so many luxuries. Go back to your grandparents. Your grandparents washed clothes by hands. I'm talking about when they were young. They washed clothes by hands. Electricity may have been on in the cities, but out in the country there was no electricity. People walked everywhere. Disease would come up and just would knock, a third of the population out every couple of months. Life was hard. So let's go back. And in Noah's day, there was so much violence. It was so hard raising kids and just working the fields. And Lamech has a son and says, you know what? This man is somehow going to be the answer to why life is so tough. And the reason why his life was so tough was because of sin. All right? And truly, in our day and age, the reason why things are so hard as families and as Christians, and it's only going to get worse, is because of sin. So Noah was going to be the answer, and he turns out to be a savior, if you want to use a little S.
But they are told out to be what their names are called.
It's kind of cool.
I said that to them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to understand. There are two ways to look at it. The first one is some of the names had no meaning until after their life, which means, like if I met you in Weston means nothing to me. But after knowing you for years, Your life would define your name, okay? You decide how people are going to understand you. But there's the other side where God may just give somebody, without even knowing it, the wisdom to know what to name their child, and it turns out to be something like Jesus said to Mary, call him Jesus. Said to Joseph, call him Jesus. When Samson was born, remember his mother and father were told, you're going to have a son, Samson. All right. There are several times where a child is named unusually, and it defines, like Moses. Moses is an Egyptian name. It means drawn out. But it actually turns out to be that the nation of Israel was going to be drawn out of Egypt. So how unique that Moses, this guy who's plucked from the water, is going to be the savior to pull and to pluck Egypt, Israel out of Egypt. Yes?
With John the Baptist, like, why is the name so important? Because, you know, like, Zachariah, was he dead, was he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the name, is the name at the end of the day, like, but why is it important in the law? Do you know what I'm saying?
You're going to have to ask God. Sometimes it's very important. Sometimes it's not evident. I have no idea. Number three, it would seem that Japheth was the eldest, but Shem is almost always put first because on him is the covenant that we're going to learn about. The covenant that Noah has is going to be passed down through Shem. And if you understand, and also I don't want to forget before I work it out, I used to get weekly reports and outlines from you guys, and I'm not getting those lately. So that makes me worried that you're not doing your chapter by chapter. And Jose, I might need to talk to you about some of the requirements for the class. Are you need to be outlining every chapter. It's very simple, but I want you to be reviewing each chapter and learning something yourself. And like the minor prophets, you should be giving me a report on one of the prophets in their life, what they struggled with, and so on and so forth. But you ought to be working on that so that it's not a last-minute event, disaster, okay? So we have Noah, and you have three children, all right? And usually, let me draw it over here while I'm doing it. Usually Shem is Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now take your Bible, turn to Psalm 105. Now I think Japheth was the oldest, but that does not mean that Japheth was guaranteed to get the covenant. God makes a covenant with Noah, and the Messiah and the birthright and the blessings of God could have gone through Japheth, but it ends up going through Shem. And Psalm 105, let me catch up with you here. All right, where are we? Now, look down there in verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and increased the people greatly, and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. Go over to Psalm 106, in verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of... All right, so Ham actually heads down to what continent?
Africa.
He heads down to Africa. All right? Egypt and Africa, that direction. Japheth heads northwest. He's European. And he doesn't stop there. He goes from Europe over to America. And Shem, however, heads east. All right, he goes east, and when he goes east, Shem is what we call Oriental. So when you deal with people from the Philippines, Korea, Cambodia, China, you're dealing with a spiritual people. They're very, very spiritual. Not always good, but they're very spiritually minded. You deal with Europeans, they're materialistic. All they think about is things. They conquer. They take over, all right? Oriental, they're spiritual. And when Noah had these three sons, he had no idea these were going to be the three different categories of people who are all over the world. Which one's superior? Now, they're all a mess. But God says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, we're going to see. This is where the Jews come from. And a European has to follow a Jewish Bible, has to read a Jewish Bible, has to believe a Jewish Savior. African, Hams, has to believe a Jewish. It's very humbling to have to follow a Jew, because they're some of the most arrogant people on the planet. But they got the right book, and they got the right Savior. So, here back in number 3, it would seem that Japheth is the eldest, but Shem is put first because on him the covenant was entailed, was given, as it appears, as we're going to see in Genesis 9. Go to back to Genesis 9 and verse 26. And I'll have Graham, if you would read that, please.
And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
Wow. You know, the only way... Japheth doesn't like serving anybody. But Canaan's the son of Ham and everything, God says because of what we're going to see in the sin in Ham's and his family line there, how they affect, the only way for a person to get saved is always through breaking your pride and humbling you. If you ever want to, lead somebody to Christ, you've got to break their pride. You've got to get them to realize, I deserve hell. And it's really nice when somebody gets saved and all they want to be is a servant. That's a good thing. So we have to him, the Lord God of Shem, it is probable the birthright was given, and from him it is certain both Christ, the head, and the church, the body, were to descend. Therefore, he is called Shem, which signifies a name. Shem just means a name. Because in his posterity, the name of God should always remain till he should come out of his loins, whose name is above every name. So that in putting Shem first, Christ was in effect put first, who in all things must have the preeminence. Noah lives a total of 950 years. Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, was for 243 years... contemporary with Adam. He lived alongside Adam. So Noah knew from his grandfather about Adam. How'd you like to sit down and talk to Grandpa Methuselah? Tell me about Adam. He lived for 243 years contemporary with Adam. At 500 years of age, instead of focusing on his sons, God focuses our attention on judgment. So now we're not going to talk about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We're going to talk about the wrath of God. Now, I've got you a chart, and I don't know if it's actually fully verified. I think we got a fault or two there. I tried to put that together, and I apologize, it's not verified. It may be almost completely right. I thought it was, but that's my attempt. So I'll wait for Barry to help me make sure it's right. B, notice the following facts about the pre-flood world. Average age at death was 858 years. I mean, average age today is only 58 years, maybe. no one lived to be 1,000. The total time from creation until the death of Methuselah was only 1,656 years. The flood occurred in the 600th year of Noah, or thereabouts, probably about 620th year, to the statement of Genesis 6:3. The world just became more and more wicked as they went along, so as we're going to see in 6:11. Everyone died except 8 people. That's Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. Noah is a type of the Messiah in the following ways. He brings rest and comfort to the world. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He provides an ark of deliverance from the coming judgment, an ark of wood, and so does Jesus. His ark, however, is a cross. Both would be just men and perfect in their generation. He was born of a virgin. He wasn't born of fornication like they accused him. Both were totally obedient to God. With Noah, God entered into a covenant with the promise of deliverance from the threatened deluge. And aren't we part of the new covenant, Jesus said, the new testament that's in his blood? Noah would be the second father of men on the earth. Adam was the first, wasn't he? So when you find Noah coming off the ark, God says, be fruitful and multiply. So he is not called the second Adam, but he's kind of like the second Adam, isn't he? Adam starts so off, and God says, all right, run around, start making children and fill out the world. Well, has to wipe that off, and you come to Noah, and God says, now start having kids again. And he's got, I'm 500 years old. How do you start with kids? 600 years at that point. And he's actually talking to his children. But Noah becomes kind of the second Adam. But when you come to Jesus Christ, he is the full second Adam. And shouldn't we be getting lots of people born again? Okay? That's the picture of that Noah's fulfilling. And some questions. Adam lived how long?
930.
Yes, 930 years. So that's your fill-in. Who lives 365 years and then disappears?
Enoch.
Yes. And who lives the longest? All right. Let's go to chapter 6. And Weston, if you look up Matthew 24:37.
24, Elder?
Yes, sir. Matthew 24:37. So, Noah gives us a good sort of, you know, how you can tell by the color of the sky, you can tell by the way the wind is blowing the trees. You can see signs that a storm's coming in. You can see signs that a bigger storm is coming, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. So in part one of this chapter, we're going to study about the growth and the spread of evil over the world. The evil became so bad that God decided to destroy the world and the entire human race, save eight souls, except for eight souls. The second part of this chapter deals with Noah, of whom found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is in this last section that Noah was instructed to build an ark. It is in this chapter we find a man by the name of Noah. He's a man that represents two types of people. He's a type of the Christian in that he preached about something that no one ever seen, rain. As Christians, we preach about an event that is going to take place called the rapture. We preach about the wrath of God that hasn't happened yet. Somebody says, where's the promise of his coming? How come God's letting all this happen? How come he allows Syria and all the people that are abused down there? How come he allows all these problems? Well, he did back before the flood too, didn't he? He's also a type of the nation of Israel, for he rides out the judgment of God in the ark and comes through on the other side in his body. So Noah's like Israel, being preserved through the tribulation. If you can get that picture. The tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And guess who gets saved out of all that trouble? Jacob does. Israel does. The rest of the world is going to be wiped out. It's called Armageddon. But Israel will survive. Where are the Christians going to be? We're not here. We're not part of Israel. Israel's going to be saved. We're already going to be in heaven, and we come back with Jesus. So people who think that the church is going to go through the tribulation does not understand Israel. They don't understand that that the tribulation is about Israel. It's not about the Christians. It's not about the church. The Catholics want to do away with Israel, and they take the place of Israel. And a lot of Protestants, most Protestants have the same mindset, and they think that the church is the most important thing in God's eyes, and that's not true. Israel has and always will be the most important people group that God deals with. It is by the grace of God that us dumb Gentiles have anything to do with God.
Surely the church must be more important.
Surely not. Surely not.
We're actually believing in God's promises, whereas Israel don't.
That doesn't matter. We believe what Israel is supposed to believe. We follow the God of Israel. We believe in the Savior of Israel. What I'm saying is, we are a few branches that have been grafted into this massive Jewish tree. It is a Jewish system. It is God is the God of the Jews. Okay? So the Jews are more important. Now, yes, we're important. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that don't get the idea that certainly we are more important than the Jews. Now, that's a slippery slope.
The physical Jews have been taken off.
Now, agreed. Their branches have been broken off for a while, Romans says. But be careful, Gentile, because if you broke them off, he can put them back, Paul says. And we shouldn't boast against the branches. They may be down on the ground right now, but in a heartbeat. Okay, so the principle is they're more important than we are. They really are. In the plan of God, in the overall scheme, Israel is God's business. It is what he works at. He lets you get in, but he's going to say, to the Gentiles, they're going to say, you better get in fast, because in a little bit, I'm going to send strong delusion so that no more Gentiles can get in, and the Jews are going to come in now. Because his goal is to get the Jews saved. So, it's very humbling.
But just, like, the fact that we're saved, saved people are surely the most important people in God's eyes, far than unsaved people.
Now you're being too nitty-gritty perfect. When I talk about this, I want you to understand that look, a saved person is more important than an unsaved person and is more valuable. But in the scheme of things, start to eternity, start to finish, this period of time we call the church age, which may be a misnomer, but it works. This time when all these Gentiles are getting saved, left, right, and center. You've got to understand, since Abraham, God's work has been on, it is a Jewish emphasis the whole time. He should have abandoned them 400 times. He should have just left them, but he didn't. So the Jewish emphasis spans a long time. And when my point is with the tribulation, when the wrath of God is poured out on the world, the church goes up and gets out of the way so God can deal with the Jews again. Because God has not abandoned his people. All right, so my point is, these guys, as important as we are a blip on the radar. We're going to be pulled out of the way. God's main target is a Jew. And that's humbling, because if you ever met a Jew, and you have, you know how hyper-atheistic, hyper-anti-God they are right now, as a general people. But it doesn't matter. There's something that God made a promise to Abraham that God is going to preserve even to such arrogant people as Jews. Okay, because to him, the Jews are very important.
It's just almost like if the church are the wife of Christ, it would always be like he's desiring another woman instead of us or something like that, if he preferred another people to us. You know?
Yeah, I'm careful not to compare it at the level of a wife. If you want to be really specific, Hosea teaches that Israel is the wife of Jehovah. And the church is the wife of Christ. Yeah. And you start to get in that thing and you're like, wow, okay. So if you can differentiate and understand that in your mind, I don't fully understand it. But God's wife has been away and God's still going after her. Okay. His son, the man Christ Jesus, has a bride, and that's the church. So he's using those type of illustrations. I'm just saying the emphasis is always on the Jews. We get in on it because we believe what the Jews are supposed to believe. Okay? So, all right. The call of Noah. Chapter 6, let's look at 1 to 5. Weston, you'll go ahead and read those five verses for us.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took their wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of known. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Okay. It was during this period of time that sin ran rampant over the entire world. Man basically did everything evil that he imagined. Now the sons of man began to multiply. Let's talk about two questions about this thing. People lived to be very old during this age, and the theory behind this is that the earth was surrounded by a canopy of ice. I believe in this theory. Some people don't. Ken Ham doesn't anymore. He used to. Kent Hovind says that he believes it, and there's kind of questions about it, but here's the earth, okay? The idea is, how do you have a perfect world when you have solar flares and cosmic rays and ultraviolet radiation? Well, above the atmosphere, if there was a layer of water, very thin layer, it's transparent, it's ice, and so the sun rays going through space would just bounce off. Not the sun rays, the ultraviolet rays would bounce off, and all you'd get is light, and you'd have heat all over the planet. When they started doing some surveys just off of the coast of Ireland, off of the coast of Galway, they found coral reef that's 4,000 years old. Coral reefs. Now, a coral reef only survives in 30-degree water. Wouldn't you wish that were true? All right, water that's 30 degrees. You have to go to the coastline, perfect coastline, northeast coastline of Australia. You have to go to some areas where the water and the heat, you got to go Caribbean. So how do you have that warm water up in off of Ireland? They drilled 2 miles down in Antarctica. And while they were drilling down there, maybe not quite 2 miles, mile and a half or whatever, they're drilling down there and they're pulling up these ice cores and grass, trees, dirt. So underneath all that ice is a land mass, and when they pulled it all up, it was tropical. So before all that ice dumped on the South Pole, there's tropical forests that are buried underneath all that ice. So how was the entire Earth tropical from the South Pole to the North Pole? Only if you have a sauna. No rain. You just have moisture in the air. It's like just steam, as it says in Genesis chapter 2. There's no rain, only moisture coming up out of the ground. So the idea is, when the flood occurred, it says that it rained 40 days out of the sky, correct? And the earth, it says, the fountains of the deep broke open and water came up. This ice somehow, and Hovind has a great theory, he thinks a comet hit it, and all that ice broke up. And when it broke up, it all fell down as rain for 40 days. And it's a nice little theory. It's got a lot of answers and things. So that's how things, how people lived longer before, is because there was no ultraviolet radiation. I mean, the wrinkles that we get on our face, usually, they can be related to stress, but they also come because the sun rays are very harmful. What are you going to say, Eric?
I was just going to ask you that information. Where did you get that?
Oh, it's all over the internet. It's all over every book I've got. Henry Morris, his.
Would they be Christian influence people that wrote that?
Oh yeah, they're all creation scientists.
Great sense. All right. But so I'm going off track. But do you think there's a conspiracy then that hide that information?
I don't think there's a conspiracy to hide the information. There are a lot of physical problems. There's a lot of physics.
I know, but if you take the coral reef and you take the
it's tremendous proof.
Change how the scientists
think. Nothing changes how a reprobate thinks. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So you're dealing with people who are reprobate, and no matter what evidence you show them, they cannot see it.
But they're the people who say, we're saddest, we work with facts. Those facts.
I have a Greek book called The Elephant in the Room, and the concept is, if you don't believe in elephants, and you keep running into an elephant, I don't believe in elephants. It doesn't matter how big the evidence is, they will always go around and look for another explanation. So now, again, like I say, there are a lot of... If you know physics, there's a lot of problems with this. How do you keep something up that far? And how does it stay balanced and not crack and not fall before that? I don't know.
Yep.
But there's all kinds of things. I'm just giving you some. I love looking at the Bible and learning science from it. Yes, sir?
If it committed it, it fall fast on 50 days and 50 nights.
No, it wouldn't. No, don't get the idea. Again, it depends on how far up and how long it takes for it to all come crashing down. You think it all would come crashing down like a building. It doesn't. But when a comet goes, there is what's called... you ever seen the auroral borealis, the northern lights? You may not have ever seen them. I've seen them once here, and I saw them once in the United States. And it's breathtaking. They're like sheets of shimmering curtains. But in the north and the south pole, there is what's called the magnetic poles, the magnetic fields that go around the Earth. And if a comet sort of disintegrated on its way and hit this thing, all that snow of that big, because that's all a comet is, a big snowball, would end up on the north and the south pole. And that's exactly what you find on Mars. You find this big clump of snow, of frozen carbon dioxide, up in Mars. And it just fits that a comet produced all that so fast. We're going to actually talk about some more. I'm ahead of myself.
Did a comet want to hit the Earth as well?
No, I think it actually disintegrated in. All right, for example, let me tell you why. What happened? It did hit the Earth, but not like a big rock. It hit it with just a dump of snow. Because here's a woolly mammoth. It's chewing on seeds and grass and things, and it's frozen. How do you freeze a 2 or 3 ton animal instantly? The only way that happened is if you have super cold snow fall and dump on it by about 100 feet and just press down on it and preserve it. They actually have dug up, back in the 1970s, they dug up some woolly mammoths over in Siberia. They topped it apart, and then some Texans bought the meat and cooked it and ate it in Texas. Because it was so preserved. Now it's forbidden. They can't do it anymore. But the fact that you could do that, you could cut this thing up and put a slab on, you know, this 4-inch thick steak, and heat it up was because it was perfectly instantly frozen. It didn't, if you freeze over time, if you don't freeze the meat instantly, it rots. So all the proof points to a lot of snow, not just rain. And that happens all at once with the flood. It's the idea.
It's the Earth tilted on its axis.
It is. Somehow it got hit.
But that's what I'm saying. So was it hit?
Like I say, I can only go so far. I love learning science. I just haven't learned it all yet. Maybe so. Or God started it on its side. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You don't know.
I don't know.
It was started.
I don't know.
It might be hit or not.
That's right. So people lived a long time. Okay, and I think it's because that canopy protected by B. Daughters were born to the people. It was a good thing that daughters were born to the men, else the race would have been extinct many years ago. But this is not just a normal statement saying daughters were born. No, something is going on here that God wants us to be aware of. See, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, beautiful, and they took them as wives. Now, just who these sons of God are, we're not explicitly told. We're going to have to put the pieces together. There are some theories of where they came from and who they are. Here are two theories, and maybe they're pros and cons. So take your pick. I know which one I hold to. Number one, the first theory, possibly the sons of God were the godly line of Seth. That's your fill-in. And the daughters of men were from the lineage of Cain. So this is the idea. That, remember, we've got Noah over here, and he's got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What the idea is, going back up here, these are the sons of Seth, correct? But over here, remember old Cain. Cain and Seth come from Adam and Eve, and Cain's way over in the land of Nod. He's having children by the gazillions. And these guys have a lot of beautiful daughters. And they're just called the daughters of men. Now, that doesn't sound very exciting. I mean, a big deal. But these guys and their children are called the sons of God. Now, it's kind of like daughters of men, sons of men. But that doesn't make... I'm not going to get my position here. Let's just go on here. This is a good thought. However, it has some flaws. For the sons of Seth were men, and daughters of men were daughters. And the daughters of men were daughters. That is, they were flesh and blood. Both lines have Adam and Eve as parents. How can one be good and one be bad? If the sons of God were from the line of Seth, what happened that caused the offspring of these sons of God, Seth, and the daughters of men to become giants? There is a problem here. When you mix Cain's children with Seth's children, you get giants. That's where the theory loses it. How does these descendants produce giants? How does he call them the sons of God when the Bible says the whole world was violent, wicked, the imagination of the hearts of people was only evil continually? He didn't just say Cain's line, their imaginations was evil, but Seth's people, they were godly. That's a misnomer. So if you have a child by an ungodly woman, you're going to have a giant.
Well, what I'm saying is that the imaginations of our health of people's health are wicked.
That's right. Today, you know? That's why I said the clincher is the word says, giant.
Yeah, I know like that, but the Bible says one not to be unequal yoke.
Agreed. Yeah. No difference. But this is a devastating unequal yoke.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, I'm ahead of myself. Let's just rush it so I can get to my point here. All right. So, more interestingly, in the New Bible, say men of renown. They don't even use the word giants. They only want to give you the idea that these were famous men. Number B, more interestingly, is the fact that these giants show up again after the flood, and the flood was caused by God to destroy the giants, not just people. If you look at also verse 2-3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Who also? These guys are flesh just like these giants are flesh. So the also is, I got to destroy these guys because I must destroy these guys. Let's see, where did I leave off?
B.
I'm on B. I'm on B.
No, you're in the middle of B somewhere.
I know. That's why I'm looking for it. Yes, okay. Even though the line of Seth continued through Noah, these giants surface again. David is credited with killing one of the giants about 400 years after Israel entered the Promised Land. And when Joshua was in the land, there were giants up in the mountains. Goliath also had four sons. And these giants fought Israel during the days of King David, who was a man after God's heart. So, who's going to say something? Yes, sorry.
It means the flood was only that part of Israel, not over the world.
What was it again? The flood?
No, the flood was on the whole world.
The flood was not for...
The whole world? The
whole world, only this part of Israel.
Well, let's look at that. Let's test that and see if it was a worldwide flood or only a local flood. Because I want to find out what it says. Okay, let's do that. The second theory, that the sons of God were fallen angels. Now, this is most likely the cause for the offsprings of the sons of God and the daughters of men. And I want you to get it really big in your mind.
Oh, yeah. What was the
All right, number three is fallen angels.
And it's fallen angels again, then.
I'm sorry, number two, theory number one is the godly line of Seth.
Oh, no. You see where it says the sons of God? There's two fallen. There's one preceding.
All right, the second one. Theory number one. That should be theory number two. I don't know why I have that. It's because I underlined it on this one, but it shouldn't be. So it should be theory number two. I'm sorry. My first mistake of the day. What? I certainly know how to confuse Eric. Boy, if it was that easy, I should be doing it a lot more often. Okay, now this is most likely the cause for the offsprings of the sons of God and the daughters of men to become giants, mighty men of renown. Here's the point. Forget about Cain. Forget about all that stuff. What are we looking at? How are we producing giants? We have somebody called the sons of God. We have something else called the daughters of men. Now, I don't mean to, we don't have any ladies here, but I don't mean to demean them or anything like that, but the Bible does refer to every person, male or female. It says, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let's see. I'm looking for the verse that says, John chapter 1 says, he came into his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, not the children of God, even though we are, but the sons of God. So, God has a way of looking at us as sons of God, yes, because of the new birth, but there was somebody who was already a son of God before the new birth. Let's look at that. Look at Jude verses 6 and 7, Barry.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, the ashes of earth in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities above them like man, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Okay. Sherlock, we've got to look at our evidence here. What is it? Even the angels, let's look at the list. Read it again slowly. Let's look at all the evidence.
And the angels which kept not their first estate.
All right. So they left. They left not their first estate, their first home. They left heaven. Let's keep going.
But left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Okay. They did something really bad, all right? Because they're in serious trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, they're angels are in chains. Who else was put in chains for 1,000 years and locked away? Satan will be. Okay, let's go on. Keep going, because they're just like who?
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah.
All right, as Sodom, keep going.
Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh.
Addicted. When it says giving themselves over, it's an addiction. Addicted to what?
Fornication.
Yeah, but look at how else it says it. As to strange flesh. Now, when it talks about strange flesh, it says strange flesh that does not belong to them. When it talks about a strange woman, all women are strange. But he's talking about a strange woman means she's a stranger to you compared to your wife.
That could be bestiality, no?
It's worse than bestiality. Right. It's demonic.
That could be strange flesh to us.
Yeah, I know, but he's... Okay, but Sodom was man with man.
Yeah.
All right? And it was wrong. It was going after a flesh that doesn't belong to a man. And here now is angels who are going after strange flesh. They're going after something that does not belong to them.
Yeah.
You keep going there, Barry? I think this...
They're also from a different realm, really.
They are, yeah.
So it's a crossing over.
It's
from one realm to the other, which is strange.
None of this stuff's ever preached today. Nobody ever thinks of this stuff and showing off angels mess around with people. And I believe they did in David's day, and I believe they do in our day. I wouldn't be surprised if Barack Obama wasn't the offspring of some... wicked effort, because of the wickedness of his mind and the power that he has. Yes, sir?
People don't even realize that they've entertained angels. Angels can still be among us.
Yes. I think Joseph Stalin, anybody who's demon-possessed could have started off. Now, I don't push that thing. I'm just expressing my disgust for how wicked our leaders are. Adolf Hitler, there was an unnatural wickedness about him. Yes, Weston?
He was a midget, though.
Huh?
He was a midget.
I know. But I'm just telling you how wicked they are. They just make me sick thinking about
it. There was showing a clip of one of Obama's bodyguards, and it was on Facebook and stuff like that normally, but he was acting weird and outing him, and the close of him didn't look right at all. Like, just he doesn't mind you that. Like.
All right, so is everybody following me here on angels? Let's keep going.
calling it an alien, Pastor.
Huh?
They were calling it an alien.
You know, somebody said back in 1950...
He was a man, Mike, but he was a man, Mike.
Yeah.
The shape of his head.
Somebody...
But to be honest, I'm just a man who can't be...
yeah.
It's when you're listening to that, like, it's... It all together, like.
Yes, that's right. They said, somebody did a funny thing and said, when was Roswell, 1949? All these aliens landing in Roswell and stuff like that. No, it was like 1949, 1950, somewhere there. And they listed and they said Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, all of their births were about 9 months after Roswell. So it's just, whoa. We just don't want to think about that. Okay. You know, we can laugh at that, but it's going to get to where you can't even joke about that stuff without being... It's just wicked. So I laugh now, amen. Okay, so, the Bible says some angels left their first estate, and they cohabited with, I believe, the daughters of men. God spared them not, but delivered them in the chains of darkness. 2 Peter 2:4-9, Eric. 2 Peter 2:4-9.
Do you realize you just give your position away there? He just says, I believe.
I know. I told you I was going to tell you my position.
I didn't know the second year. I believed in the
end of it. Yeah, well, believe me, a lot of people are ashamed
of
just letting the Bible tell you. I'm a Bible believer. And if the facts point in one direction, I just got to go, so be it. And a lot of people, that gets you in trouble. But that book always gets us in trouble. Amen. 2 Peter 2:4-9.
Should inheritance incorruptible?
No. 2 Peter.
Oh, it's 1 Peter. Sorry, this is my old Bible.
Old eyesight.
For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Hold. Angels sinned. And then right after that, the judgment of Noah's flood. Look at how they get connected. Now, there are all kinds of ways you can try to read that and say, well, the angels sinned when they fell out of heaven with Lucifer. Okay, that's kind of weird. That may be fine, but it goes along with Noah. And the concept, or the whole context, look at verse 6 now. We have angels sinning, we have destruction of Noah's flood, and then verse 6.
And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly.
Wow. So somehow, the daughters of men, living ungodly with the sons of God. The whole concept there is somebody getting together, and it's wrong. It is so wrong that God has to destroy them. So, we think, let me ask you this. Weston, saved man marries an unsaved woman. Are they married?
Yeah.
According to there, if you're going to think of the first theory, God has to destroy them because you cannot mix godly flesh with ungodly flesh. That's wicked. Two people can be one flesh and they're married even though they're both unsaved or one saved, unsaved. So you can't. I'm telling you, the first theory is a joke. You have to take the Bible as it is. Did we get down to verse 9?
No, 7, right?
Yeah.
And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
All right. Furthermore, these particular angels mentioned in Jude and Peter are not demons under the control of Satan. Do you know his demons still are free to do all the dirty work that they want to do? And Jesus cast out many of them out of his people. So the angels aren't all there is to the demonic world. For the use of the Old Testament term, sons of God, we got to see Job 1, verse 6, and 2, verse 1, Jose. Job chapter 1, verse 6.
Job chapter 1, verse 6.
And then chapter 2, verse 1, after that.
Yeah. Now there was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you
come? Okay. Now you just want to go down to verse. You just want to stay in verse 1. So who's appearing before the Lord? Two different people. Who are standing before the Lord there in verse 1? Or verse 6, sorry. Satan and who else? Who else is with Satan, it says?
Son of God.
The sons of God.
Yeah.
Now chapter 2 and verse 1.
Verse 2.
Chapter 2, and chapter 2, verse 1.
Chapter 2, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 1, I read so. Again, there was a day when the Son of God came to present himself before the Lord. And Satan came along also among them to present himself before the Lord.
Okay. So you got the sons of God appearing before the Lord, and you have Satan appearing with them. And these aren't people. Look at chapter 38. Still in Job, chapter 38. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Stay awake, Weston.
Yeah, I read, so, chapter 38, verses 5 to 7. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? What were its foundation fastened? Or who had cornerstone. When the morning stars sang together, and all the Son of God shouted for joy.
Okay, look again back at verse 5. Well, look at verse 4.
Verse 4.
Yes.
Yeah, verse 4 says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? The earth. Tell me if you have understood.
Okay. So God is talking to Job and saying, where were you when I made the earth? But who was there watching when God made the earth, according to verse 7? Who watched God make the earth and shouted for joy?
When the morning starts sung together, starts.
Not just stars, and the?
And the Son of God, they were there.
So, people, I become a son of God because I become like an angel when I get born again. But they already are sons of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sons of God did not begin with the new birth, with Jesus. Angels were already called sons of God before creation.
Yep. But we'd be different because...
We are different, yes. But we are like... Why Jesus said you are will be as the angels, remember?
Like we're sons of God because we're made in His image as well. Like, the angels are not.
Are you sure? We actually are a little lower than the angels, aren't we? Okay. So, it's kind of going to stretch your understanding.
So are you saying the angels are made in the image of God?
They have...
It doesn't say that anywhere. Like.
Okay. Well, we just read it. They're the sons of God.
Yeah.
They don't have the image of God like we do, but don't they have free will?
No.
Okay, so... They have a lot of characteristics that we do. They can be judged...
That's God's judgment, they got to
make. I understand. The fact is, they can fall, they just can never get restored. We can fall and can get restored. God set us a little lower than angels so that we can be restored. Angels, if they fall, can never be restored. But they have an image of God. I mean, that's why David says, what is it about man that you even think about us? I mean, angels, they worship you. and we don't. So it stretches your imagination that so that you understand, wow, I've been invited into the family of God. When angels are right up there next to it, we actually have been invited all the way into the beloved when we started so far away. So the point is this. Sons of God, who wants to take the guess? Are they the godly line of Seth or are they angels? They pretty well look like angels, don't they? So your answers there for little one and little two are angels for both of them. Angels present at creation. And like I said, the key is that word giants. Somehow you produce giants. Let me show you something. You ought to get you a book called Babylon. Alexander Hislop's book called The Two Babylons, and how he goes through Greek history, Roman history, Babylonian history, and all they do is they worship giants. You ever hear of Zeus? Thor. All these guys are huge beings that rule from Mount Olympus and rule men and they create storms. They're giants. And they're way down the line. They're messed up mythology that have a source of truth back in history that goes back to this time. Okay.
When we made little Adam and Eve, is that in power?
And lots of different things. In position, we don't have nearly. We don't know God like the angels do. We don't see Him. Okay, they get to there in the presence, going holy, holy, holy. All right. So, like I said, it sort of expands your understanding of just who the angels are and who we are.
Doesn't you go back to what you're talking about? All the gods, Zeus, and so on. Man can't really think with his own imagination to create something new to worship. Because, I mean, they take the half the bull and the man and so on, the half man and half horse, you know, and all they sort of immerse those things. But that's all things that they know. They just can't think of any creature or anything, shape or form outside of what we already have. Is that right?
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. Our worship always goes downward. We start with the worship of man, yeah. Four-footed beasts, flying things, and it talks about creeping things. And look how we don't even evolve our religion. We devolve it. People just worship filthier and filthier things. So get you a book called The Two Babylons, and you'll see all the gods of mythology and how they fit these giants. Number F, the objection to the theory is found in Luke chapter 20. We won't even read it right now, but that's the passage of Scripture used by the Sadducees to tempt Jesus about marriage. Because the idea is angels, they can't have children. They're sexless, which is stupid. The idea is the angels do not have to marry for there to be more angels. Do you understand? But we do have to in order to have more people. What people have done in order to explain something they cannot understand, i.e. the sons of God, is to make angels to be sexless. They're just neuter. They're walking around like your new dog is there, Eric. One second. So all angels in your Bible are female, right?
I was just going to ask that.
There are no female angels. You're going to have to ask God. I don't know why. Jesus comes along and he didn't pick 12 women. He picked 12 men. He called men to be pastors. A woman came out of a man. She didn't come out of the ground. There is something very sexist about God, and people don't like it. Guess what? I accept it.
I don't know the percentage, but I'd say 90% is all masculine when it's talking in the Bible. There's only a small percentage, because even what I can think of is what it says with God is that he's like a mother hen. You know, that's the only feminine.
Yeah, or he dies like a mother hen, giving her life for the chicken. Unless she's...
But, majority of it's all masculine, isn't it?
It is masculine, and God deals with men authorities. But this is the thing, when you think of angels, don't think of little babies, you know, bare-butted angels lying around shooting arrows at people. You got to think of men, very mighty, strong men, pink butts. Yes.
Where there will neither be male nor female, does that mean just be a neutral?
It doesn't say that there will be no male or female. What it says is, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. Meaning that my position is not based upon my sex, or based upon my color, or based upon my accomplishments. I come as a sinner. You cannot come as a female, you come as a sinner. You cannot come as a feminist, or as a chauvinist, you must come as a sinner. Well, and in Christ, he's all, and he's male. Hello? Yes, sir. Quickly.
The thousand, the millennium, right?
Yeah.
To be people still alive. Yep. People still get married. Yep. Like
But not us. You better get married now, because you won't then.
That's it. You're told something else.
Pure torture for some.
We won't even think about it.
We won't even think about it. Jose, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I get everything now. Very good. Good. I'm happy.
If we could just get Weston happy, we'll be all right.
I have one question too. You know, when Jesus
ascended to heaven,
the Bible in Matthew said that the grave
broke open,
and the people in the city, they saw some people alive, so in the city.
Yes.
They were female or they were men, these people.
So. As far as I can tell, okay, I'm not sure. It doesn't say, so I'm not going to say. I find that you will know everybody in heaven, okay? When I get to heaven, I will see, there's Jose. There, and everybody will look different, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But women won't be like they are now.
Okay.
They won't be knockout, beautiful, okay? Yeah. They're not going to be ugly either. But it's dangerous to say, but it's as far as I can go, and that is, I will know my wife, but I won't see her as my wife anymore, okay?
Okay.
The person that is my wife is not her body, because she could get into a car accident and be burned and still be Nita and still be my wife. And even if she changes and she's no longer this beautiful female that I look at and I love now, she'll still be Nita. So when I get to heaven, I'll know Nita, I'll know Sarah, but they won't be, you know, I mean, a woman is big hips, big chest, big breast, you know, and long hair. No, it's not that way. I'm not sure how it's going to look. So the people, when they got up with perfect bodies, not number 10 bodies, okay? You understand what I'm saying by that? All right, I'm being very discreet. Okay. All right, number 3. The Lord said that since man is also flesh, as you're filling in, God's Spirit shall not always struggle with man. So, the two parts of man were originally in happy adjustment. Since the fall, the flesh had gained the upper hand, and the Spirit was now in bondage. Because of this, the Lord declares that all man will perish in up to 120 years.
But hell was created for the angel and his devil.
Devil and his angels,
so,
yes.
What do you want? They're not put in there to stop. And what was going on there?
Because just like if you, the reason why there's so many drugs in Ireland is because people want it. You can outlaw drugs, you can stop drugs at the border, but people want it. And so God could have just stopped Satan, and he does for 1,000 years during the millennium, but people still love sin. So he lets Satan loose. He has him on a leash, but he uses him, just like he used Pharaoh. He uses wicked men for his purpose.
I understand that, Lee, but
so like, why didn't he just destroy him? You're going to have to ask. That's one of those things that I've pondered. I can give you all of my theories, but I kind of just sit back and go, it's just a theory. Only when Satan fell. He didn't create hell and then wait for Satan to fall.
I understand, but I'm saying, like, it's like he created for him, but
he didn't use it
yet. Prisoners, but they're not in there yet.
Correct. However, there are, the angels that fell before the flood, they are in there. They're in chains right now. They are reserved unto judgment right now.
Before the flood?
Before, yeah. At the flood, God killed them and put them in the prison. We read that in 2 Peter. It says they are now reserved in, they're locked in chains.
Yeah, I just wonder if we weren't in there beforehand.
Because they hadn't sinned.
The angels
had not sinned yet. They sinned giving in, leading up to the flood. And so God let them sin, and then he judged them.
Satan fell over heaven with the angels.
Right. No. Now you have another set of angels.
What is more? I thought it was all just the one boy. I thought that when Satan and the angels fell, that they weren't thrown into hell.
Right, they weren't.
They weren't?
Nope, only the ones that messed with men were thrown in.
But why weren't they? we want the ones that were cast out in false time thrown into hell?
Because he's going to use them. He was going to use them. He knew this was going to happen, and he let it happen. It's all part of God's plan because it's going to happen. There are angels now who are going to mess with in the future. Whatever was going on in Noah's day is going to happen before the second coming of Christ.
So you see, and so the angels on heaven could survive.
Or there are angels that are with Lucifer that have left heaven but have not messed with people yet. And they are yet to mess. For example,
what you're saying, Pastor, is that the ones that messed with men, that set of angels, as opposed to the ones that fell from heaven, yeah, they crossed the line?
Yeah, they crossed the line, exactly. And there are still, all right, very tough. Let me see if I can draw this out. You have Satan and angels. However many there are, they fell, okay? Now, from that group, let's say there were 100 of them, okay? I know there are more. Yeah. Say there are 100 of them. 30 of them messed with the daughters of men, and they went to hell and are in chains right now. There are still 70 of them who throughout history came for little one-night stands and got Goliath's mother pregnant. And Goliath was born. He's a giant. Produced not by humans but by a devil, by an angel that fell. And so you've got Goliath and you have other angels, other giants, but way out here in the future, just before Armageddon takes place, you have a bunch of giants that will be created, born during the tribulation, and I think they're being messed with right now so that they're born and they're grown in the tribulation. So there are still 70 more that are messing around, and they will be judged in Armageddon.
So would they kick over heaven with our physical bodies?
Yeah, angels don't have physical bodies, but they do have the ability to reproduce. Well, how far do you want to take that? I don't understand.
Yeah, but Gabriel and Mark had physical bodies, aren't they?
Well, they would appear and they disappear, so it's not quite physical. But yes, they could be touched. They were
so
physical.
So are you saying they took over people's bodies?
No, they had their own body. They could appear. They could have sex, yes.
So they only have sex. Did they take on someone's body?
No, they had their own body. They could appear, produce, and disappear. They're not like the movies. They don't possess a person in order to have. I don't like talking about it, but yeah, they don't take over a person so they could have. Yeah, of course.
So they have a body, but they have a body. Appear and walk and all.
Yes. Like we will during the millennium. We will appear, disappear, and we'll have a body. Okay? We got to move on. A lot of deep stuff. Yes?
You say when one can't take a life's mother or something like that, where did he come from?
He's part of the God of this world. He's in this realm.
Oh, yeah, so he's like, you can't see him, no.
But right, but he showed up and was a Don Quixote.
Why would the angels have seeds?
Why? I don't know why, but I'm looking at the evidence. Evidently they do. And women right now love strangers. They dream for somebody to sweep them off their feet. I'm talking about women in general. They have been so conditioned to allow tall, dark, and handsome to come into their life and just take them away to some island paradise, and all of a sudden she finds herself pregnant. She has no idea why. And that happens all the time. People go on college trips and they get pregnant and they have no idea who they got pregnant from. And it just grieves me that that's our age, and it's preparing them so that wicked angels mess with people.
But there must be some form of seed in the other realm.
Yes.
Not that they need to have that seed, but Mary, by the Holy Spirit, she
conceived and had a child. So now you understand a deeper thing, only a Bible believer accepts. It's just one of the most. It's a very.
Well, how did she get pregnant?
That was a strong text.
I'm not saying to see.
Yeah, but the fact
there
is.
Something there spiritual.
But the fact is.
Yeah, but that's God creates.
I know, but evidently an angel is able to do it too. Let's move on.
But that's different.
I know it's different because it's better, but the fact is, God produced a baby. Angels can produce a baby. I know that. But the point is, he's just saying that angels aren't impotent.
I know that. But okay.
Okay, so we just go that far. Okay.
Angels are men.
Yes. All right. Aren't you glad you're a Bible believer? But you understand why some people just, I don't want to go over this stuff, because they'd rather watch it on television instead of think about it from the Bible. So, quickly, number B, here's some basic instructions for us. We must realize that we can test the patience of God even though we're born again, and we can. And we are also warned of committing the sin unto death. God will kill based on certain sins that you do. And Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill, it doesn't use a nice word like desire, it says the lust of the flesh. And evidently, angels and women were in lust.
Pastor, you know, it says you're supposed to test the Spirit.
Right.
Is that not what angels are, is it just the Spirit?
Anything. Paul says this, he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you. So there were the fear that moroni, angels would appear and would try to teach another gospel.
What's a moroni?
Moroni was the moron who started the Mormons. The Mormons.
But that's not in the Bible, moroni,
is it? No, the point is that an angel appeared to Joseph Smith, he said. And the Bible says, if an angel does appear and preaches another gospel, they're from hell.
Yeah, right. So are we saying then that there's an angel called Moroni?
No. Whatever angel that Joseph Smith talked to, if an angel appeared and preached any other gospel, they're from hell.
I understand an angel talking to him, a demonic one. But I'm just saying, you said Moroni. Is there any?
Because that's what Joseph Smith called him. I said, if an angel calls himself Moroni...
That doesn't necessarily mean it is Moroni, is that it?
I don't care.
I bet I do.
That's just the name.
It's just the name that the angel gave him, and it just the point is... Okay, all right. So the wickedness was great. God saw the wickedness was great, and the heart of man was corrupt.
Oh, that's okay.
So once again, by looking at the past, we have a type or a picture of what is going to go on when the Lord returns. And not only does it say in the days of Noah, it says also in the days of Lot. So God promises, pronounces sentence, and unfortunately we got to quit there. Now you know why we have to have another session so we can make up for our time.
Just,
losing.
Just keep West Noah.
West Noah, you're fired.
Just ask some really good questions. One, I actually agree with you.
One.
You and I disagree with
you. I just thought, like, the end is hell once.
Yeah,
at the beginning.
But then that doesn't explain how there were more giants later.
No, but see, that's what my point is. Like, if the hell was created for the angels,
they should all be in there.
I know. That's where they all come from.
Yep. But now you see that there's more than just the ones who fell. There are still some that fell from heaven, but have not gone so far as to be judged into hell yet. Okay? Take a break. 5-minute break, quickly.